What's up, everybody? It's All Day Ray with Confessions Next Gen Podcast, where we spotlight rising traders, early journeys, and the future of the game. And today, I got my boy Pierre with me. And yo, man, I'm proud of this kid right here. I've seen him come up through our Discord trading room over the years. Pierre is now a risk analyst at Apex Fintech Solutions, a man who's potentially, I think he is getting into the hedge funds game.
We're working on it.
He's working on it. We'll look forward to talking about that, what he can talk about revolving that. And most importantly, this is a man who gallivants around Nice in the summer. Pierre,
How
what's up, man?
you
Thanks for
doing,
joining me.
Ray? Great talk to you. How you doing?
I'm doing real good, man. Is it pronounced Nice?
Yeah,
And I
Nice.
just like, it's just one of the French cities I know. Do you actually go there, or like where in France do you go?
I've been one time. I've got family outside of Paris and then in Nantes as well. So if I can go stay for free, I'm up there.
Absolutely. Are you going this summer?
Nah, not this summer. This summer I'm busy, but I'm trying to get something going next summer, hopefully. Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay. Because I know I remember some of our discussions. You telling me about France. You know, some of the fun parties and stuff.
Oh, it's a great time. Yeah. I always have a good time.
And how do they what's their reception like with America? I mean, obviously your parents are from France, or
Yeah, my dad's from France, but well, I don't know. Here I'm French, there I'm American, right? So
right.
so I was still treated like an American, but no, it's fun. But yeah, first thing they do is ask me about Trump. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's funny.
I'm sure that's fun stuff, fun stuff. So yeah, this podcast is not about gallivanting in France, as much as I would love for it to be, but we'll save that for another time. Pierre, I guess yeah, just right off the top, man, like what drew you into trading, man? Like, how long is this something you've been interested in?
Well, I didn't know I was interested in trading until I found out about, I think it was Scott Trade at the time. But in high school, I was trading anything from iPhones to car parts. And I didn't realize that you could do this on an international scale with the most rigorous financial system on earth. And it took me until about like freshman year of college. I placed my first trade on my size on the pre-market and went from $1.20 to 370, and I went and bought an iPhone X. And I realized, okay, there might be something here. Yeah, but I never really took it seriously until COVID came around and I found the Discord. And I was trading a little bit on my own while I was working in a factory doing mechanical assembly. And I was definitely struggling for a long time because I mean, as a retail trader, you just have a hood over your eyes the whole time. You're out there basically trading on misinformation and a bunch of people selling their book to get exit liquidity. And you find out the hard way that not everything is as it seems. But then hopping on the Zoom calls with JJ and hopping in the Discord with you and Steve has been instrumental to learning the ins and outs and starting to build processes that are repeatable. And I mean, through trial and error, we're up 4% this year, but
Good shit.
it's been a tough road.
Good shit. Well, nah, man, that's good to hear. I'm happy to hear that the Discord was of help. I suppose most people, I mean, I'm thinking back to like the podcast and like everyone I've like talked to, and like I think I can only remember of like two people that were like, yo, like they got trading like immediately, like profitable from the start. I think for most people it's struggling from the beginning, and then like you're saying, navigating through like people who are there's a lot of fakeness in the trading space and like education space.
A lot of Photoshopped P&Ls.
For sure, for sure. I guess like look, what were some of your like initial struggles like what's something you had to like overcome your early journey in trading?
Ironically enough, risk management, which I think helped a lot getting my current job was because I'd blown up in probably every way imaginable. And especially when you're starting out, you don't have the bankroll, you're trying to chase like nominal gains, like, oh, I want to make 10 grand this year, but you're starting with 1 grand, good luck. Like it's gonna be a tough mission, and trying to keep that in scope is impossible. And especially with the internet culture the way it is, where everyone's flexing their returns. Oh, I made $1,000 today, I made $500 today. And you're like, oh, why am I not doing that? I gotta go and chase this, one penny zero DTE on SPY, and I'm gonna get a $20 move, and all of a sudden your money's gone, you gotta restart. So I think that was probably the biggest struggle. And especially because like my style's always been better with scalping. Like if I'm in a trade longer than 5 minutes, I'm probably losing and should have already exited. And that can get really tough when, I mean, with futures, I was putting in, because when I was funded with Apex Trader Funding, I was putting in between 50 and 100 trades during a 24 or 23 hour
Yeah, I
session.
remember.
So you're like, it's pretty hard to keep track of it, and it's tough to keep yourself honest as to whether or not you're over trading, whether or not it's a valid setup, whether or not you're just bored and you're like, eh, screw it, like let's just see. And trying to limit that downside exposure when you're trading that frequently can be very emotionally draining. And so it's very easy to go on tilt. All of a sudden you're putting on extra size because you took your you hit your daily stop loss, where you're like, oh, I could double this and get even, and all of a sudden you're down twice as bad, and it's like, oh, let's do it again, and you blow up a funded account. And it's really tough. But a lot of that difficulty, I think, comes from not having a rigorous enough system, where if you don't have your boxes to check, then you're more than likely relying on a discretionary strategy that is not well defined. So you might have a feel on the market one day, and then all of a sudden the algo switches up, and it's a whole different price action. You get rugged on that same strategy that's been working for weeks. So yeah, it's a mission.
I think about too, all like the happy hours, or just like when we were like really in there trading actively, and I'm like, yo, like th I'm like, yo, this guy's crazy. Like, I can't like and that's the great thing about trading is like we all have like different styles, like we all see things differently, where I'm like a little more patient. I'll take like 1 to 3, 4 trades a day, hold it a little bit longer. And I'm sitting there watching this guy, and I'm like, yo, this guy's a lunatic, man. Like, this guy's like aggressive, but I always like, but when you talk to somebody, you can understand if somebody's thinking correctly. You know what I mean? Just because if you're doing something different than somebody, talking to them, seeing how they're thinking about things. And though, even though I always thought like, this is my honest opinion. I've always was like, yo, Pierre's gonna get it. Cause like, yo, you have that like aggressiveness that I think it takes to be successful, where like I think it's harder to tame some, or it's easier to tame down. Like, and like, look, like for example, it's like you made the joke about like you're, funny enough, you're like a risk analyst now, but it's because you understand risk. Like, you've been there, you've gone over the top with it, and so now you understand. But I think it's harder for people coming from the other side, that where they're like timid and to ramp it up. I mean, that's always been my opinion. I don't know if that's true, but I mean, what do you
I
think?
mean, I've always been somebody to dive headfirst and without looking. And so inevitably you're gonna hit a couple of shallow ends of the pool, right? Like it's gonna happen. But I remember you saying that it was probably 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. And I've kept that in my mind because it is something that I hold as a value or a positive trait. Which I mean, I'm ADHD, I'm impulsive, but that can be channeled in a positive direction. And if you can find that use case where that separates you from the crowd, you can find your edge. Not to say that it's for everybody, right? But that's kind of the, like you said, the fun part with trading is you're going to find your style over time through trial and error, and it's not going to look like everybody else's. If it does, I mean, that's fine, but I usually what separates you from the crowd can give you edge.
Yeah, for sure. And you got to like lean into like what your like natural strengths are. And like, yeah, like I'm glad you picked up on that, 'cause like that's what like I was like, yo, like that's not a bad, like you just got to learn how to hone that in. Like that's what you need to do, but you just got to hone it in. You know what I
Yeah, the
mean? Like,
discipline.
exactly. It's like Yeah, it's like a bigger, like, I think, like, even like philosophy or like spiritual concept. It's like, you know, you work like you a lot of times people think like of themselves in like well, not think of themselves, but think of these traits as like in the negative form. And it's like, well, no, it's not a negative if you know how to work with it like that, and then you turn that into a strength.
Yeah, it's just rules to the game for you, right? Like you just have to approach the game with those rules and try and find a winning strategy.
Exactly. How much are you still like, now that you're a risk analyst, like, are you still trading your own account, or you just kind of focus on the job right now?
Just trading a personal Webull account. For now, I'm trying to work with an old boss of mine, and we're gonna try and get a little hedge fund going. Where ideally I'd be working in a head of risk capacity, for the same reasons as I've indicated prior, where having dove in head first enough times, I can at least outline some ways how not to, and having the exposure to how kind of the behind the curtains aspect of a lot of this industry, which is not communicated intentionally, right? A lot of
Sure.
edge comes from actually knowing how the game works on the backside and starting to look into, okay, a market maker is pricing an options contract twice as expensive on this week versus this month. Why is that? Somebody's probably expecting a move. Maybe I should like limit my size and increase my stop loss in nominal terms. A lot of those aspects were totally foreign to me, but I think we'll be able to get something fun cooking soon.
Yeah, cool, man. I want to ask you like strategy questions so bad, but I know that's, you know, can't dive down that route too much.
The what I'll say on strategy is market makers will price an option better than you ever will, so trust their pricing because they've got mathematicians at a NASA level working behind the scenes, collecting very nice money to do this math for you, and they make money on the spread, so they are incentivized to have it accurately priced. Trust their pricing, and you can use it to your own advantage.
Are you, I mean, I would imagine, and you know, if you can't answer the question, you can't answer the question. But I'm just curious. I'd imagine your style of trading may change, would have to change, or
Absolutely.
yeah.
We will not I will not be putting in 100 trades a day.
Yeah.
We will be it's more of a portfolio strategy.
Yeah. Cool. On that note, taking it back to like your personal account. Maybe could you just kind of go over, you know, your methodology of trading? We obviously, we know you're a scalper, but like, what are things that Pierre is looking for to initiate a trade?
I like discounts. So I almost exclusively trade options. So what I like seeing is momentum in the opposite direction of I'm trying to buy, so I can get a cheap call if it's moving down or a cheap put if it's moving up. So same idea as fading a pump on some cheap Chinese shit co that put out fake PR release and getting that get your you get the liquidity for the entrance and get it up the other side. I can get the same entrance advantage when people are selling to buy. So I'm looking for mispriced contracts on the S&P for the most part, where I mean, especially recently with volatility being all over the place. We've had, I mean, VIX over VIX has crashed a little bit, but when VIX is this high and it's pricing in like 3-4% moves, and you're only getting realized like 1-2% moves, those contracts are inherently overpriced. So looking out for discounts in that in this environment is essential, or else you're killing your profitability.
Have you? I don't. Were you always trading options? I don't. I wasn't. You weren't
I
always trading options, right?
trade whatever moves, but at this point, I think I've found that with the S&P, I have a better read, and At least with SPY, the options are cheap enough that I can size up a proper ratio of capital allocation and risk for my portfolio, which has been a problem. When you're starting from the ground up, it's like, oh, well, I buy one share of Tesla and that's 30% of my $1,000 account. Like you're inherently going to take a couple dings that are a little bigger than you intend
Yeah.
versus options. You might only have to put 10, 20, 30 bucks down, hypothetically, and still have that 3% exposure, which is a lot, but you're not putting 300 bucks down.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what's pushed me towards it. But I mean, again, with when VIX is elevated like that, you can get dinged if you're not careful.
Yeah. And you're totally right. I meant to say, like, when you were bringing up the point about, like, having, people on social media, like, posting, like, P&Ls, or, like, you see this in trading, it's very, like, over exaggerated. Like, and I think
They'll
people
post a
co
good day. They won't post the bad ones.
yeah and I think, like, people, with me coming into trading, I knew that was, like, bullshit, because, like, or at least I figured it was bullshit, because, like, when you because trading's essentially gambling. Like, when you gamble for a living, like, it's actually really not that glorious. Like, it's fucking tough. Like,
You're going
it's
to take a couple hits to the mouth. Yeah.
like, in it, it's like, I mean, you can try and glamorize, like, yeah, you can make a lot of money, you can glamorize it if you want, but, like, I always, and maybe this is just me personally, like, I would hate doing that, because, like, I've been humbled. And, like, that's such a shitty fucking feeling. And, like, if you're not, like, so on your P's and Q's, you'll get fucking humbled.
And it takes one trade.
So I think, like, people out there, if there's, like, newcomers or whatever, like that, like, to your point, like you were saying, like, trying to, like, put a $10,000 gain year on a $1,000 account,
It's not gonna happen.
it's not
Yeah.
realistic. And so
Or
people, yeah, so
yeah,
I think a
you
lot of
might
people
hit it
come
one
in,
time.
yeah, people come in with unrealistic expectations, where it's like, you doing good is not gonna, like, feel good. Like, you're on a $1,000 account. I mean, if you make a thousand on the year, you're happy. You're very happy. You're
You're
incredibly
quadrupling
happy.
the market. Yeah, you could run a hedge fund on those returns.
So, but it doesn't, I guess I get it. I could see how it's, like, very confusing, or, because on top of the, you have all that, then you have to learn trading. You have to learn about your own, like, psychology. It's a lot going on, and just, like, you got to take it one piece at a time, and try and be as realistic with yourself as possible.
Yeah.
All right, we're just going to take a quick time out here to announce that the rebranding of our trading Discord server to the Trading Syndicate. We offer not only ES, where JJ, aka VWAP Trader, aka the Gorilla House Street, that's where he teaches. You guys know him. He teaches and trades there, but other futures, instruments, stocks, crypto. We also have DFS and sports betting, which I'm highly active as Pierre would drop in there as well. I know, dropping in some bets. You can come visit us at thetradingsyndicate.org. Speaking of bets, Pierre, any betting recently? Like, I know you just dabble for fun here and there.
I took Julius Randle for the over the other night, which hit, and then I've been getting blown out since Super Bowl, so that's about how it goes. But I'm always putting in like crazy 8-leg parlays, and then one hits, you turn $3 into 1,000, but then you're bleeding for the next 99. So I'm trying to get more towards just a single, call a money line or a spread and go from there.
I've been getting whopped too, recently. Like, I get, like, sick of, like, doing everything so fucking serious, so I'm just, like, throwing bets without, like, really analyzing, and I'm just getting fucking
Just
torched,
playing the
dude. Yeah, dude, I'm just getting fucking torched, dude.
vibes,
It's but it's I don't know. But see, it's
yeah.
funny, like,
comes
I
with the
can't, like, do
territory.
these things. Like, I try to do these things for fun, but then I get so, like, I just hate losing, man. Like, that's just still in me. Like, I don't know.
I'm the same way. I think it comes from sports too. Like growing up playing rugby and football and doing Muay Thai, like just I'm competitive. And so I think that even comes into play with like the markets where you start trying to compare yourself to other people and you're like, I got to be doing better than them. Whereas like the real mission is doing better than yourself yesterday.
Dude,
Just getting a little bit better.
that's a great point. I mean, I know we're, like, joking, but, like, I think you nailed it. Like, especially, like, trading, like, it's you versus the market. It's not you versus anyone else. And, like, that, yeah, I mean, really, I think really that could transcend, like, everything, really. Like, because I think it's, you start playing a dangerous game when you start playing the comparison game with other people.
Yeah, and everyone's got their own path too, right? So it's like somebody could have a great year and you're comparing it to yourself to them, but the next year they might lose half their account because they're taking that same level of risk. And what's not taken into scope is the volatility of your returns. Like anyone can double their account in half an hour. Now, will you hold on to it playing that same strategy over and over again for years? No, you're going to blow up doing that kind of thing. Like if you don't, I think that's why I love getting this insight on the risk side is the most important part ends up being cover your ass and get a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. How have you I guess it could be I think like you mentioned, like when you first trading, like you had that good trade to start. And I like asking people this question, like how like sometimes like you could think a strategy is good and you just got lucky, right? Like
You caught
how
an outlier,
how like I mean I still to this day think it's a tricky thing. It's very nuanced. Like how do you go about like I guess like analyzing if it's really an edge or like hey maybe I've just had a good run here.
Good sample size. And if you have at least like a regimented system, like if you have a real good checkbox or series of boxes to check, then at least you know you met enough entry requirements on a large enough scale that you can treat a sample size properly versus like even if I trade a strategy 100 times, but there's only two requirements, I might not really catch a lot of the nuance in context. And I think, the hardest part with the market is there's an infinite number of variables. You can compare anything to anything and create a system that might be back test well, but then you're not going to know what needs to be refined until like maybe you get 1,000 trades in and you actually log like what was the situation on, let's say, was VIX up? How are the treasuries doing? Like, what is the S&P up or down? NASDAQ up or down when I went long Tesla? Like, there's a whole lot of context that'll come into play that will hurt the repeatability. But yeah, I mean, just like I mean, I learned this from y'all, taking good notes, especially when you're starting, is what's going to help at least shape that strategy moving forward. Because I didn't know what I was doing on that first trade. I didn't have any strategy at all. I just was scrolling the news feed, saw a press release, clicked buy pre-market, and it worked. And all of a sudden, I'm a genius. But try and do that every time and hold a little long, and all of those pump and dumps, they come right back down. So, you got to learn the hard way, but you're not going to learn if you don't take good notes.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely nuanced. Like even like you're saying, like I was like, and I just shared this in the Discord many times. Like I like to back test, like at least like as a starting point for strategies and just, but like, see, but like to your point, right? Like, sometimes it plays out differently in practice. It's not always, you know what I mean? Like maybe things start changing. Like you said, there's so many I guess that's what makes the market fascinating. Like there are so many variables. Like at least compared to poker. Like poker, I can model out hands.
Exactly.
And I'm gonna ask you about poker in a little bit. But
Oh boy.
poker is a finite. Like there's only so many variables. Like there's not, you know, there's bet sizing. There's 52 cards. There's 4 streets of betting. Like these things are modeled now, like trading. I mean, we can't, I mean, you can model it and I think that's very useful. And I used to be someone Pierre that was like, I'd say pretty like staunch against like, oh, trying to like use intuition and stuff. And like now I've actually come around and like, I think like, obviously it's still, that's in itself is nuanced, but like, I think there's something to like experience seeing things and, making a read, and going with it.
Yeah, I mean that plays out a lot with poker too, especially if you're doing like home games with with same crew. You get a pretty good read on individuals and how they play, and it ends up being a lot easier versus say you're doing your online poker. It's pretty anonymous, and the only real context you get is bet sizing and like pace. But then everyone's gonna take extra time, so they're gonna pretend they're thinking and they have pocket rockets. And you're like, okay, so. Oh man, yeah, poker has been not great recently. I had a good little run last year. This year has not been hot, so I've been cooling it and sticking to trading. But You put me on to Pot Limit Omaha, and it is so much more fun. I had never heard of it till you mentioned it, and I start looking into it. I'm like, oh man, I can have blocker cards, I can have all these different options, and you're really just playing like five like river shots on like an ultimate hand, or you got, two pair and you're looking for a full to beat the flush. Like, it's a lot of insane hands you'd never see in Texas, or never, you would rarely see in Texas Hold'em. I think it's more fun versus, beating, jack high nothing, like with a king high nothing. Like,
Dude, it's way
I'd
more
rather have
fun.
two pair versus a full. Yeah, it's way more fun.
Yeah, dude, it's way more fun. Yeah. I just guess like maybe it's like because I always wondered why it's not more popular. It's like it's decently popular down in Florida. Like they get some good games going here in the casinos. Online semi-popular, but I guess it never hit like the popularity of Hold'em. But like because I don't know. I think it's simpler for people, two cards, and then like four is a little more messy and like.
Oh, but you made a good point when we were talking about this prior, where there's so much more skill with Texas Hold'em. Like, just when you're playing, people are better versus like PLO, they might not necessarily have the same level of skill just because it is a bit more, or it's different thinking.
I think the strategy is harder to I think that this the at least from like Texas Hold'em like once again like it's there's more finite scenarios PLO that it's I mean just as simple as like knowing what type of starting hands to play and like you can get an edge there because there's so many damn cards and it's like even like trying to study that is like I won't say like immensely difficult but
It's
decently
exponentially more
difficult.
difficult. Yeah, you
Yeah,
have
I mean
more
especially when you're
cards.
playing multi, you're playing with a bunch of, you're playing like six to nine handed. Yeah, it's a fun it's a fun game, man. And you get and it attracts the gamblers too. Like people who just want to come in and play every hand and just,
You
dude,
never
I
know what you're
like
going to get when you got four cards, right? Like, anything could happen.
dude, some like business guys like come and play down here in like the casino and like I mean not even them, I mean business dealers, drug dealers, like you name it, whatever. People who just come in with lar money and they're just ripping it in every hand that they'll bust more money on the table. Just high super high variance Pierre. I'm either leaving super happy or I'm like, why do I even play? Like
That's like trading too. It's
yeah.
all the same. I
It's
mean,
all the same.
that's the fun thing with poker. It helps with position sizing. I think you had mentioned that too in the chat, where just getting used to understanding, like, this is my stack, I have this to operate with. If I blow out, I blow out. Or say you have a, stop loss, two, three buy-ins for the night or whatever. You have to operate with that in mind. And when you move over to trading, you can't look at your whole account like one buy-in. Like,
Yeah, I know that fucked me
it's
up at
not
first,
going
Pierre. That
all
fucked me
in,
up at first,
right?
man. That fucked me up at first. So I'm serious. I was like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh man.
I
Yeah,
came
I
in
had to
way too
learn that the
aggressive.
hard.
Yeah, I came
Yeah.
in.
Oh
But
man,
no.
I think.
Yeah. So I was gonna ask you this. Like, has like and you mentioned a little bit about it, like position sizing, betting sizing. I guess like what's like the one thing like maybe like poker has made you think about trading differently? Any other way?
Evolving probabilities.
Okay.
I think, because especially like when I'm scalping, something will look great and, 5 minutes later it's sitting there stuck and nothing's happened, and all of a sudden it's not looking so good. Same thing can happen if you have pocket aces and three twos come on the flop and you're like, well, shit, somebody with a very bad hand has quads. So I think understanding that you have to do that constant recalculation, unless, I mean, they're, more systematic types of strategies for trading where you kind of just have to let it play out or else you start messing with the strategy. But for me personally, where scalping does end up being a bit discretionary, I have to constantly apply that idea of evolving probabilities. And I even started using like a shot clock for myself when I'm scalping, where it's like, if I'm in this for longer than 5 minutes, I'm out, because already I know the odds are not going to be as good. And if it does go my way, it's not because of the trade I took, it's because of total random chance. So I think that's probably, evolving
I
probabilities.
think that's a great takeaway. That's a well said, very well said. Okay, so I mentioned us host, doing the happy hours. Actually, I'm bringing it back starting tomorrow. So
Let's go. I'll
everyone
be
who's in the
there.
Discord, Pierre, if you're around, come drop in. anyone who's in the Discord, we're starting a happy hours back. I made the announcement in there. I'm excited for those. Those were a lot of fun. We're chilling, drinking, maybe doing some other things. Who knows what's going on those? But we're talking trading too. What's one of the things, like, I know they're all fun, but I feel like we had like a lot of like really good discussions, like with a lot of different people. We had some sharp people on there. Anything like specific you took away from those?
Well, I remember distinctly the happy hours from like t end of 22, like once or well, honestly, all of 22 was so hectic that in a week so much would happen and you might not even really remember it all. You might come out with this opinion of the markets for the next week, bring up an idea, and you've got 10 traders in there who are looking at the same charts and have a totally different take and say, what about this? What about that? And you start reframing your perspective from the insight of others. And I mean, it's also fun. So the conversation will go for like an hour or two, and you really
Yeah.
get a good insight as opposed to like what I think the biggest constraint is for retail is you're usually on your own. You're
For
only
sure.
able to cross-reference your thoughts with yourself, and you have no real checks and balances to that thinking. When you're able to talk for an hour on an idea or, a take on a stock, you're going to get way more perspective. You're going to start to refine your thinking and then even give the weekend for time to meditate on it and then approach Monday with a way sharper focus.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Well said. I was, I write articles for the Discord and the company, whatever. And I like that was one of the things when I was thinking about, I forget exactly what I was writing about, but that's what I said. Like, I think like one of the big like advantages that institutions or institutional traders have is like they have like a team. Like,
It's
you
a
can talk
desk,
to people. Like doing
yeah.
this on your own is like hard. And I even remember in poker, because like I did poker, like I had some buddies like at various times, and then we kind of like we did our own things, and like, but I always remember like the top players, like they would like get in groups together with each other and talk strategy, talk hands, travel to the different tournaments together. And like I understand now, like it's always good having someone to hey, how did you play this hand? Oh, well, I would have played it this way. And then you start thinking from his point of view. And it's hard to get out of your own head sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, especially, yeah. And especially with trading, where I mean, poker, at least I feel like you can still do a good bit of studying and get a good handle to like a decent baseline level of understanding to approach the game. But moving to trading, like you're gonna think you have something, and all of a sudden that strategy is not working anymore. You're probably gonna realize a little too late. And you don't really have anything else to re cross-reference. Or if you do, it might not be the right perspective for the style of trading. But that's one of the best parts of the Discord. You have so many different kinds of traders posting trades, posting their analysis, that you get a really diverse collection of opinions. And you can kind of pick and choose, like, what's working for you, what's not, what can I learn from, like, what should I not do?
Yeah,
And yeah, learn from others.
definitely. Yep, well said, well said. So you recently-ish, I think, or maybe it's not so recent anymore, but you got your Series 7 license. Congrats, first
Thank
off.
you very much.
For the people out there that might be interested, just tell us like what's the process like, the process, the test, anything surprise you?
So, the first half of the test, the Series 7 used to be one really big test. They split it into two, and the first half you do not need a sponsor for. So, I highly recommend anyone who's getting into trading or has been for years and just hasn't done it to go and take the SIE, is the Securities Industry Essentials exam. The Series 7 top off is a, let's say, you study options, equities, fixed income, bonds, mutual funds, like all the above. But then there's also the ethics aspect because it's licensed to be a general securities representative. So with a Series 7, I can manage money for other people. With that, it can attract some sleazy people. So it is essential to set like your ground rules for what is ethical and what's not. And some people might not realize it's unethical until they see the worst case scenario. But then also there's a suitability aspect where if I'm talking to somebody who's 65, I'm not going to tell them to put 100% of their money in Tesla. But if I'm talking to a 25-year-old, I'm going to probably tell them to be a lot more aggressive because they
Sure.
have a huge time frame to collect on their investment. So learning the ins and outs of each type of security, and then who is the best audience or best customer for the security, makes it, I mean, better as what is technically a salesman, right? I'm selling you an idea and I'm managing and collecting a fee or collecting commission for facilitating, but nobody's going to want to come back if you're losing 10% in a year.
Right.
So, I think that's the biggest difference, but most of it's covered under the SIE. So you just learn a bit more extensive knowledge on the same stuff from the first half of the exam. So highly recommend for anyone who wants to learn more.
Cool. I like do you think like that whole process you think made you like a better trader, or it was just kind of like,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know what a warrant versus a right was. Like, there's a whole lot of nuance with the securities industry, and I think it's done intentionally to confuse people. That way, people can put on a suit and tie, be that know-it-all who knows the complex words, but really it's something super simple with a weird name. And so learning the difference and learning, yeah, I'd say you get a more fuller understanding of the industry itself. And when you're, I mean, even if you're seeing press releases for like a stock offering or a reverse split, like you actually know what all of that means and why they might be doing it, and you can adjust your trading accordingly. So I think any knowledge is good knowledge, or any correct knowledge is good knowledge when it comes to
Sure.
trading. So if you can refine your thinking at all, it's going to be a benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about where you're working now, like how you landed the job at Apex, and yeah, what's the day-to-day like for you there?
So I landed the job after I was working as an investment analyst for my old boss, and I landed it by applying to 500 jobs in a 2 month process because it's been a bit tough out there in the job search. But I was able to get green lights on the interview process, mainly with the line of thinking that you have no excuse not to be able to figure something out now. With my biggest use case being ChatGPT and YouTube and Google, if you can't find the answer, you're not looking hard enough.
Good
And
point.
so they like that. But then our head of market risk asked for a he said, you can't talk about blackjack or poker, you can't talk about trading. What was one aspect or one story where you had to think about risk? And I talked about when I went to the Yukon for a month of backpacking and a month of canoeing for the National Outdoor Leadership School. I was in charge of the group of five for this class three rapid, and so a big like whitewater rapid in an open top canoe, and we had a whole bunch of injuries because this was like week six. And so at that point, everyone's got a twisted ankle. We had people getting heat stroke. And I took a look at that rapid and I'm like, we aren't, somebody's going to flip the boat. We're going to spend 2 hours trying to go pick them up down river, get them back. So I ended up splitting up the group where if you were hurt, your job was to go and scale this cliffside to get up top to scout it out, while the people who were not as hurt would try and take the boats down one by one. The second we sat in like the boats alone because we didn't have enough people, we realized that was going to be a terrible idea and we were going to hurt more people. So we ended up having to carry these boats like a mile and a half. And
Oh
the boats are like
shit.
300 pounds because you have all of the food and stuff that you need for the month and all of your camping equipment. And so, he thought that was an original story and thought it might lead to thinking that was unlike others. So that helped me land the job. And
Well
from
done.
day one, it was diving in the deep end, drinking out of a fire hose because the business is very multifaceted. But when you're working in risk, you have to deal with everything because if something blows up, it's your fault. Or managing it is your fault. And so Our day-to-day is mainly checking our exposure because we, as a clearing firm, offer margin to broker-dealers, to RIAs, and they will then offer that margin to clients. If they are 2x levered on Tesla and you have a huge downside move and it goes beyond that 50%, then the firm we lend to loses money. If there's a huge concentration where maybe half of their clients are all levered long Tesla and it gets cut in half, then that firm could go under. They can't pay us back, and all of a sudden we lose the money. So we do a lot of risk shocks to portfolios to see, okay, up or down 10%, up or down 20%, what is this portfolio P&L going to look like? So we can see what kind of the compound injury or benefit might be. So a lot of it's, yeah, looking through portfolios, trying to see risk exposure, and then exercise and assignment exposure, because if people forget to put a do not exercise checkbox for when they buy an option, then at the end of the day, you might get assigned 100 shares of SPY. It's going to cost you, like, it's going to cost you more money than you've got most of the time. So then you're negative 40 grand in your $10,000 account. You can't pay it, then the firm is going to get hit. The firm's going to have to pay it up and then close it out. And so it compounds again in the same way, where we're extending this credit, but we also have limited capital. So you can't deal with it forever if everyone's getting blown up. That's a lot of the day-to-day, and then managing execution limits for big firms. Like, we work with Webull, we work with SoFi. And if they have a big rebalance or big orders that come through, then we'll have to adjust how much money they're allowed to trade in a day, how big of an order in terms of value and quantity of shares, and percent of, like, average daily volume as well. So if, like, a trade is bigger than a quarter of the average daily volume, then if that firm has that limit in place, the limit will get rejected. We'll reach out and work with them to either work the order through a trading desk or find a home for it through other avenues.
Sweet, man. Sweet. So this is you enjoy doing this, yeah?
Yeah, I really do. It's been a great learning process. And again, I get to learn from the mistakes of others at no cost to me, right? So I get to see people blow up accounts. I get to see people make a ton. And you can take notes as to what they did right, wrong, because
Yeah.
I'm watching that account over a month. I'm seeing
Yeah.
all the, like, whether they're buying, whether they're averaging down on an option, which is a terrible idea, whether they're trimming, trimming losers on the way down and adding on the way back up, which has worked well for some. You get a lot of those outliers to see and take notes on. So
Oh,
that's
so
helpful trading too.
that's interesting. That's cool. So like you're sitting back, you're almost like kind of like what like studying people,
Oh,
seeing what
we're
they're
like
doing.
laughing at people. Like, we're like, what the hell are they
Yeah.
doing? You see somebody blow up, a multi-million dollar account, you're like, I would have retired if I had that kind of money. Like, what are you doing? Like, oh,
That's
it's funny.
interesting. That's interesting, man. I'm glad you chose that story. Risk at the Yukon, because my first mind was thinking, I'm like, oh man, I'm thinking like street activity. Let me talk about some risk.
No,
I
I would
want to hear
never.
some risk reward.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's funny. No, I
yeah.
think that would play well in an interview.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I wouldn't have got the job. But anyway. Oh, listen, man. Pierre, man, this has been fun, man. That's going to conclude our episode of Confessions Next Gen, the first episode with my boy Pierre.
Great
Hey,
talking to you, Ryan.
this guy, he's a funny follow on X. Pierre, do you want to put your X account?
No,
No?
no,
Damn.
absolutely not. I do not need that
Well, if you guys can find him, but he I was like,
you
I
can
didn't even
find
know
me.
he was following
Congrats.
me, and I was like, he sent me something. I'm like, oh, that's you? I started following this guy, and he's a little outrageous on Twitter, but it's funny, man. Like, it's
Yeah,
real
we'll
funny.
try and keep that down low. But if you can go through Ray's following and find me, then congrats to
Oh, Pierre, man, it was fun, man. We're gonna get you back on here, man, when you're up and running, man, in that
Absolutely.
portfolio and the hedge fund is up. Do you have I mean, you don't gotta say nothing. You guys got any names you're workshopping?
I believe the fund will be named Apathia Investments, but we will let you know once it's up and running.
Apathia?
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's not my name.
Oh, okay.
Getting
All
hired
right.
on.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't sure if that was like a Greek word or Latin or something,
It
or
must
just
be, but I haven't done the due diligence on that
it sounds Latin. I don't know. I'm gonna guess,
front.
but
I'll take your word on it.
all right. Listen, I'm John Studd. This is Pimpin' Pierre. You guys, make sure you guys use stops though.
Yes, cover your ass.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace.
Hell yeah.